Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 54 at 18,868. S&P 500 down 3 at 2,176. NASDAQ Composite up 18 at 5,294. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 2 basis points at 2.22%. Oil down 40 cents at $45.41 per barrel. Gold down $3.40 at $1,225 per ounce. Dow Jones Industrial Average had posted record closes for 4 straight sessions before hitting the pause button today. Still, the Dow is up about 8.25% year-to-date, outperforming the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite, which were up 6.6% and 5.8% for the year, respectively. The last 2 times the Dow outperformed the S&P and NASDAQ in a year when all 3 were higher year-to-date, you have to go back to 2006 and 1996. If the Dow can break 19,000, it would likely just keep running higher, based on market data from the past 30 years. When the Dow has crossed levels like 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, all the way to 18,000, we can expect traders to push it up even higher. The trend is true not just for a quick one-week return, but also one-month and one-quarter returns. If nothing else, a move through a 1,000-point level attracts attention, encouraging more people to jump on board. Of course, we're not there yet, and it is a probability, not a guarantee. The producer price index was unchanged in October. The PPI measures inflation at the wholesale level. Higher cost of natural gas and gasoline were offset last month by declines in prices of food, as well as services such as financial advice and hospital outpatient care. Still, some modest inflationary pressure is building. Wholesale costs have risen 0.8% in the past 12 months. That's the strongest one-year change since the end of 2014. A separate measure that strips out the volatile food, energy, and trade margin categories is rising at an even faster pace. So-called core producer prices have climbed 1.6% in the past 12 months, and that's the fastest pace in 2 years. Industrial production was unchanged in October after a big drop in output as warmer-than-normal temperatures reduced the demand for heating. Utility output dropped 2.6%. Manufacturing output edged up 0.2%, while mining output jumped 2.1% higher, best performance there since March 2014. The National Association of Home Builders Index was steady, unchanged at 63 in November. Any reading above 50 indicates improvement. A measure of mortgage application activity fell to a 10-month low as 30-year mortgage rates jumped to their highest level since January. Borrowing costs to buy a home and to refinance posted their steepest weekly increase since June 2013. Interest rates on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages with conforming loan balances of $417,000 or less averaged 3.95%. That's up from 3.77% the previous week and the highest since January. Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis President James Bullard says there's a chance the U.S. economy could get a medium-term boost if President-elect Trump increases infrastructure spending and reforms taxes. Bullard said a single policy rate increase, possibly in December, may be sufficient to move monetary policy to a neutral setting. Prices of federal funds futures contracts indicate investors see a more than 90% probability the Fed will hike when officials meet December 13th and 14th. Not everyone expects a Trump boost for the economy. Bill Gross, manager of the Janus Global Unconstrained Bond Fund, writes, there is no new Trump bull market in the offing. Investors must drive with caution, understanding that higher deficits resulting from lower taxes raise interest rates and inflation, which in turn have the potential to produce lower earnings. Gross writes many of the policies Trump favors represent the status quo, and a Clinton administration would have been no better. Gross goes on to write, "Neither party, as they now stand, has bold policies beyond the reach of K Street lobbyists." Well, so far, the Trump transition team doesn't seem particularly concerned about a transition team staffed heavily with lobbyists from energy, agriculture, transportation, and banking. Meanwhile, Senate Republicans voted to keep Mitch McConnell of Kentucky as the majority leader. Democratic senators elected Chuck Schumer of New York as minority leader. Now, it is important to remember that Bill Gross is a bond guy. And while stocks have enjoyed record highs since the election, bond prices have tanked. The bond market largely believes Trump's policies can lead to economic growth at the expense of deficit spending and inflation. And with bond prices dropping, volatility in the bond market has surged. Fixed income markets and equity markets are following completely different narratives after the election. And so the question is, which one is right? And the answer might be that they are both wrong. Stocks are probably overbought, and bonds are probably oversold. And that can continue to play out in the near term. The most likely course is a reversion to the mean. But absent equilibrium, Gross makes a good point about inflation and higher rates eventually dragging stocks lower. But the market has not yet determined a clear direction. On Monday, something very rare happened. More than 300 issues on the New York Stock Exchange advanced to new 52-week highs, and more than the same number of issues fell to new 52-week lows. It happened for the first time ever. The number of stocks setting new 52-week highs should normally outnumber those setting new lows and vice versa, reflecting some uniformity and clarity of direction. However, a wide dispersion between new highs and lows is not seen as a good market indicator. The number of stocks making new highs and lows at the same time show that this is a confused market. Snapchat, the messaging service, has filed to go public in one of the most eagerly anticipated market debuts of 2017. Snapchat is aiming for a valuation of more than $30 billion, which would make it the third most valuable tech company at the time of listing, after Alibaba and Facebook. Snap, the parent company, aims to have shares trading as soon as March. Its last round of financing came in May to the tune of $1.8 billion, which valued the company at around $17.8 billion. Snapchat accounts for 32% of social network users in the U.S. It's only getting 2.3% of social network ad dollars. No one questions Snapchat's ability to engage its users, but turning that engagement into money is another story. Amazon, for the first time, has filed lawsuits against counterfeit sellers after a number of businesses voiced concerns that knockoffs were killing their sales and endangering their consumers. Amazon has increasingly relied on third-party sellers to fuel its growth, but opening its website brought with it a greater chance for fake goods to enter its warehouses. Twitter has launched a counter-offensive against internet trolls. The company is expanding its mute function, allowing users to block specific content, like words, phrases, or conversations, from appearing in their notifications section. The damage to Twitter's reputation caused by abuse and harassment was reportedly one of the factors that swayed Salesforce against buying the platform earlier this year. Seeking to ease concerns over its largest ever deal, Microsoft has offered concessions to EU antitrust regulators over its $26 billion bid for LinkedIn. The European Commission, which will rule on the deal by December 6th, did not provide details. It is expected to seek feedback from rivals and customers before deciding whether to accept the concessions, demand more, or open a full investigation. EU antitrust regulators are set to fine HSBC, JP Morgan, and Credit Agricole by the end of the year for rigging financial benchmarks linked to the euro. Charges were levied in May 2014 against the three banks, which denied wrongdoing. Deutsche Bank, RBS, and Societe Generale admitted guilt December 2013, while Barclays avoided a fine because it alerted the European Commission. Despite years of delays, the SEC has finally approved a plan to introduce a vast surveillance system to oversee trading on the U.S. stock market in response to the 2010 flash crash. The creation of a consolidated audit trail will establish a regulatory central database and monitor every trade order, execution, modification, and cancellation in real time. Boeing will cut 500 jobs over 4 years and shut two plants as it revamps its defense and space unit. Company also said it would create a new global operations group that would include its defense units in Australia, Saudi Arabia, and the UK. Boeing's defense, space, and securities business accounted for 31% of the plane maker's total revenue of $23.9 billion in the latest quarter. During his campaign, Donald Trump singled out Ford by name, calling on the car manufacturer to stop sending jobs to Mexico and threatening to slap tariffs on any cars imported from south of the border. Ford CEO Mark Field says Ford still intends to move small car production to Mexico, but he's hoping he'll be able to work openly with the new president and Congress. And the Fiesta Bowl has a new sponsor for this year's game, and not a moment too soon. 6 weeks before the Fiesta serves as one of 2016's two college football playoff semifinals, the game is now the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 54 to close at 18,868. The S&P 500 down 3 at 2,176. NASDAQ Composite up 18 at 5,294. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. Text, audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com.